Please pray for Mike as he leads the Sunday school today. We just also pray we don't find him duct taped to the wall. God bless you, Mike. Yeah, move fast, Mike. Be light on your feet. Good morning, saints. How about this weather, huh? Amen. I just can't believe it. I remember it was May 16th of this year that I did a wedding and it was snowing. And now it was October 10th we got a snow. So that means June, July, August, September. 4 months without snow. Isn't that something? I know Beth is saying, boo, we need to, make all the months a snow months. It's always great to be here once again with a gathering of saints. There are a few missing today, including my wife. Both Ginger and I are a little bit under the weather, so that's why you haven't gotten your normal hugs for the day. But the good news is that we always take this time in the service to greet everybody in the name of the Lord. And for some of you that are normal members here, hug somebody twice for me. So let's take this time to greet everybody in the name of the Lord. I feel so blessed being a pastor that people still like to hug, even though you might have a little bit of a disease going on. But they were one of these hugs,
Yeah.
As always, I want to begin with a story. Some years ago, I went to a three-day conference in Kentucky for the Truckers Christian Chapel Ministries. A few of us had been running a ministry at the truck stop in Smithton, Pennsylvania, and there were four of us that would take turns being chaplain of the chapel, and also we would have musicians come in. I ministered in the truck stop of Smithton for about 10 years until new ownership had asked us to leave. We went to this convention because we knew it might be the last time that we four chaplains and musicians would be together. And it was a great time. The conference was great. And there was great music and there were great testimonies to be heard of all the different chaplains of all the truck stops throughout the United States. But you know what? The best thing of that three-day trip was that we had an opportunity to see our unsaved bus driver come to Christ and a young lady named Christy. how exhilarating and exciting that is to just see two people come to Christ probably within hours of themselves. Ron Taylor, you'd have to know Ron, good guy, big rough guy, hunter type. He probably would feel really comfortable up here in the UP. Ron, who was in his 70s, had never, ever led anyone to Christ, so I'm going to talk his faith to them. And this was his first experience. And he met this young lady, Christy, and he explained to her about a life with Christ. Here you are with Ron. Ron hardly ever said a word. And he saw something in Christy's eyes that drew him. And he just started a conversation. He said, you know, started the conversation about, of all things, the tax base in Pennsylvania versus Kentucky. But the conversation led to something different. And then Ron asked a simple question, a question that we Christians shy away from because it seems trite, but a question that evidently meant a lot to Ron, and that was this. Do you know where you are going if you die today? It does sound trite, doesn't it? Sometimes when we hear that, we kind of run from it. But it was the right question at the right time by the right man to the right young lady. She answered with her head low and seemingly worn out by the world. Financial problems, two children, single mom. And she looked up at him and said, "Yes, sir, I do. I suppose it would be hell." Can you imagine hearing that from somebody? I'm sure at that instant, Ron's countenance dropped until he said, "But that's not necessarily so." Then he asked a second question. "Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And she said, "No, sir, I don't." Then Ron smiled and said, "Would you like to?" And spend eternity with him. And Chrissy, in her brokenness, looked up and smiled and said, "Why? Yes, sir, I would. Yes, sir, I would." Ron, this being his first experience, was ecstatic. And he went up and he screamed and at the top of his lungs, and we were in a restaurant, you know. He was a waitress in a restaurant. We're in a restaurant. She's screaming, "This woman wants to be saved." Of course, you kind of know what you know, other people may have been thinking, but Christy was as bold as can be. And our head chaplain, Bob, went up to her and talked her through the sinner's prayer. Sometimes you get amazed at what God can do. And sometimes you get amazed at the ease of conversation to change a life. Sometimes you think it's phony, and sometimes you question it. But this was one day I didn't question anything. It was a Bible lesson to me that as ministers of the gospel, that God prepares the heart. And all we need to do is ask a few simple questions. And when you look at the situation unfold and watch a woman who wanted more to life, you understand that this thing of salvation is real. And what Christy did that day or that evening was real in her life too. You saw a textbook salvation that happened in such a simple, natural way. Simple, natural way that we kind of fear. Because we're all afraid to ask somebody, "If you die today, do you know where you're going to go?" You know, I thought about that scene that I saw. all the way back from Kentucky. And I really felt ashamed, ashamed of my reluctance to ask those types of questions. And ashamed to miss an opportunity to lead somebody to a living, active relationship with Jesus Christ. There's been many times I know personally I've let God down. Not asking those few questions that Ron Tater had the bravery to ask. And yes, I certainly have not felt that I've done enough for God and His kingdom. Many years ago, I read a book about near-death experiences. And in many of the individual stories, people remembered a long tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel was a light. And a few of them said that when they went to this light, they heard a voice. What do you say in asking this question? What do you have to show me? I've often thought about this phrase and sometimes I've dreamed about it and being afraid that what if God asked me that question? What if God asked me that question? What do you have to show me? If he asked that question, maybe it would just be a blank piece of paper. What hinders us from filling up this paper of lives changed, of our lives changed, of changing those all around us? What prevents us from doing that? What prevents us from seeking and saving the lost? You ever ask those questions? So if God asked you to fill out this piece of paper, what would you say? I'm going to ask you to say something because in your bulletin is a blank piece of paper. I want you to grab that blank piece of paper and during the service, what I want you to do is think about the people that God has used you to touch. And I don't mean in a grandiose way. I mean in a way that God has used you to say a word. To change a life. And number two, I want you to write down those people in your life that you want God to use you to talk to change your life. Write those things down. Write them down. Yes, we all have personal hindrances to completing this sheet. But let me say this. This is your sheet. It's not mine. Anything you put down on this sheet, you own it and you can take home and you can put it somewhere or you can throw it away. But this sheet is just between you and God. This sermon is the third part of a three-part series on walking our talk. And if we're going to walk our talk, we mustn't be ashamed of who we are in Christ. And so I call this sermon, What Have You Done to Show Me? Our scripture readings are from Mark 8:38 and Romans 1:16. Why don't you turn to those in your Bible? Mark 8:38 and also Romans 1:16. But before we do that, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. Go ahead and say that. I like that. Louder. I want to hear that up here. Amen. Amen. Where the Bible touches. Oh, we're going to go out into a song now. That's pretty. Mark 8:38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And let's go to Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We just praise your name. We do love you so much. And Lord, sometimes our paper's not too full. We ask, Lord, that you will show us in today's message how we fight off the hindrances that come against us as it relates to spreading the gospel and spreading your word and changing lives. Help us, Lord, today have open minds and open hearts to your word. Let it be part of us. And dear Lord, I ask on my behalf that you will speak through me your words, not mine, that they will be clear, concise, that it will be something that we can take home and apply it to our daily Christian lives. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Walking our talk means never having to say you're sorry. Almost sounds like a movie, doesn't it? But what it means to say, walking our talk means never having to be ashamed of who we are in Christ. Can I have an amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. And yes, I know there's many hindrances that keep us from reaching out. Keep us from wanting to say what we need to say, but just pulling back. Pulling back in the fear that the enemy tries to give us, so that we can't be able to drag people with us to an eternity. And we're going to talk about hindrances. We're going to talk about four hindrances, and we're going to use scripture to talk about it. And I call this hindrances to filling up our paper. Number one, the first hindrance we have is being ashamed of Jesus and his word. Mark 8:38 says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Don't we all have that situation where someone looks at you and says, you're one of those? You're a Christian? We get that daily. And I think what's even sad, even the atheists now have their own programs. They have their own meetings. The non-religious atheists have their own meetings because they war against Christians. People come up to you, they say, oh, you're not one of those born-againers, are you? Or one of those fundamentalists, as if it's something that's bad, something that's wrong. And you know, instead of using that as an opportunity to state our faith, what do? Sometimes we cower and we run. Or we stutter. Or we say, no, 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 no. How do I know that? Because that was me many, many years ago. Oh, you're one of them born-againers. No, 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 no. You got me wrong. I'm a Christian, but not a born-againer. I started questioning myself on that. And I go to the Bible and I say that we're supposed to agree with our adversaries, aren't we? Agree with our adversaries as they come against us. I came to a point where when someone says, you're one of them born-againers, that I say would have to confess to myself and them, saying, yes, I am. I know that when I accepted Christ, my life totally changed. When he came into my heart, things became different. There is such a thing as the old man and the new man. And I was a new man. So now I had hope versus despair. And then I said, yes, I'm a born-againer. I'm born-againer. Yeah, but you're one of them fundamentalists. No, 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 I'm not one of those fundamentalists. Or am I? Fundamentalists, strong adherence to any set of beliefs in the face of criticism and unpopularity. a belief in a strict adherence to a set of basic principles. Fundamentalist. Do I believe of the virgin birth? Yes. Do I believe that Christ died for our sins and redeemed us? Yes. Do I believe that he died for us and was raised again? Yes. Do I believe in eternal life? Yes. And I'm saying, that's basic principles of my faith. Basic principles of my faith. Most all Protestant churches have that as their creed, don't they? So I need to ask you all this question. Are you a fundamentalist? Yes, and I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have nothing to be ashamed of Jesus. Nothing at all, nor my relationship with him. So you're part of the religious right. No, I'm part of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is right. Which is right. Do I have an amen to that? Amen. Amen. And how come we get ashamed about the Word of God? Well, your Bible's full of inconsistencies, and you know, there's a lot of error in the Bible. And there's millions of interpretation, so you can't really have the right interpretation. Evidently, they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, do they? Do you get that? Try this once. Okay. If you find a contradiction, bring them to me and let us reason together. Oh, yeah? Bring them to me. I want to hear about them. I want to know whether there's contradictions. I want us to talk about it. And guess where they go? They're gone. We don't need to be ashamed of God's Word. There are times we don't understand it. There are times where things don't quite match up. But if you study God's Word, you're going to find more times where it does match up than when it doesn't. In my heart, I believe 99% of the Gospel and the Old and New Testament lines up. It's that 1% that the Scripture isn't confused. I'm confused. Right? I'm confused. We don't need to be ashamed of God's Word. How can you be ashamed in something like Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I have plans for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans of a future and hope." And this is love. Not that we love, but he loved us and gave himself up for us. Show me contradictions in that. We live in a world that has embraced sin. And when we call sin out, what happens? We get put down. This verse says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him." I don't ever want Jesus, the Son of Man, to be ashamed of me. I don't ever want that to happen. But we do live in a world of adultery, lascivious actions, promiscuity, cheating, lying. And they tell me God's words is inerrant. And I say their lives are inerrant. Or not inerrant. Their lives are in error, right? Number two, the second hindrance to filling up our paper is being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." Why would we be ashamed of the gospel? But we are sometimes. Why would we be ashamed to know that Christ came down on earth fully man, fully God, to die on a cross for us, to redeem us? Why are we so afraid to share this gospel with others? And why do we always worry what people are going to think? Oh, here they come again. Let me say this. Christy was waiting for somebody to come. She was waiting for someone to ask her those questions because she wanted more to life. Yet we say, well, we don't want to judge. We don't want to judge. And we don't give them that bloody gospel. You know, Christ on the cross, that's bloody. It's not any of our business. We don't want to be involved. We certainly don't want to sound preachy. We're afraid we'll drive them away. And don't we all have the same God? Do you believe we all have the same God?
Amen.
Huh? I don't. There are people out there that say, my God's like your God. And I said, your God didn't send Jesus Christ to die for me. Your God didn't send me a gospel of hope. We don't have the same God. We have a God that gave His Son to die for us. And there's power in that. There's power in that. We got a God that sent His Son to die on a cross. And to be resurrected to give us eternal life. We have an opportunity to see eternity. That's my God and His Son, isn't it? How many here believe that Christ died for our sins? Okay? How many here have the hope of eternal life? It's what keeps us sane and upright. And why can't we share this? And why would we ever be ashamed of that? Number three, the third hindrance is being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. We don't need to be afraid of our personal testimony of our walk with Christ. There is no fear. Revelation says that they will defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what do you think that means? That we will defeat the evil ones by proclaiming Christ's blood, number one. And number two, by doing a testimony of our personal walk with Him. It doesn't have to be a dramatic walk. You don't have to be a saved murderer or a drug addict or any of those. You don't have to be that to have your own testimony. And don't get me wrong, those testimonies are powerful. But we have our own testimonies, don't we? We have a testimony that might relate to people more so than the other testimonies. Isn't that correct? We do. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. Our stories may pale to some of those others. But you know what? You can't walk the walk with Christ without having stories to tell. Without having things happening in your life. Without having more coincidences happening than ever before. Raise hands on that. You see coincidences in your life? We do. Next time you see it, remember, that's a God incident. That's not a coincidence. There's no co there. It was all God. That's a God incident. We need to share that on a regular basis. We need not to be ashamed of our own personal testimony. I don't need to be ashamed that at 4 or 5 years old that I saw a cross and I saw an Easter program that changed my life. I don't need to be ashamed of that. I don't need to be ashamed that I've had a relationship with Christ for a long, long time. I may have to be ashamed of some of my walk, which didn't measure up, but I don't have to be ashamed of any testimony. And you know what? God puts these God instances in our lives that our testimony keeps growing, doesn't it? So it's not just when we came to Christ, it's our daily walk and our daily talk. Number four, the last hindrance, is being ashamed to suffer for His sake. 1 Peter 4:16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I hate that verse. Don't we all? Who likes persecution? Who likes being hated? Who has fear of being like Peter and say, I don't know him? Claim Jesus, guess what? They will cover our crosses. They will prevent our prayers. They will rip the Ten Commandments out of our courthouses. And they will hate us when we call sin, sin. You can't have it both ways. Either you're in or you're out. But isn't it great that we can face the same persecution that Christ faced? That all the disciples faced? Isn't it great that we can go the way of the cross? Don't let that hinder filling out that paper. I'm going to show a film clip here shortly. It's something we've seen here two or three times. And I think it's appropriate for the day. And it's called An Unspoken Plea. Because we do live in a lost and dying world. And God does want to use us in an amazing way. Let's look at what the world out there, a Christie type that's crying out for somebody to talk to her. I've been here 14 months, and I've seen many people come to Christ. And I like to say it was because of my way of persuasion or my knowledge of the Word. It was none of that. It was all just being available to a lost and dying world. I even had three instances in which I had men come to me to ask what it would take to accept Christ as their Savior. There was one, I said, well, why don't you just take your time, being the pastor that I am? And he said, no, I want to do it right now. You need to know this, that 99% of ministry is just showing up. Just showing up and being available to God. If you want to fill up your paper, it's not about jamming God's word down someone's throat. It's just about being available when the opportunity arises. You know, Ron Taylor only knew three questions and it changed a lady's life. It could be just as easy as gazing into the pain in someone's eyes and just offering them comfort. For Ron, it was as simple as asking, do you know where you're going if you die today? In a compassionate way. Not in a trite, put a notch in my gun way. And as he stared at her, it's, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And as he continued on, would you like to know Him and spend eternity with Him? We need not to ever be ashamed of Christ and His Word. We need never to be ashamed of the good news of the gospel, which brings hope. We all have a story, which is our story and our walk with Christ. We don't need to be ashamed of that story. Don't be ashamed if we are persecuted, ridiculed, because it comes with the territory. There is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of about our Christian walk. nothing to be ashamed of about our Christian walk, except one thing. An empty piece of paper. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to stand tall in who we are in Christ. Help us, Lord, to be available and be led by the Holy Spirit to those in this lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, be used in a mighty way to fill up our paper. Help us, Lord, be used in a mighty way to say the right word at the right time to the right person that's crying out. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we don't ever want you to be ashamed of us. We run to you. Just run to you asking to somehow get rid of this fear that we have of others persecuting us or yelling at us. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Help us, Lord, to step out for you. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask those same three questions that Ron asked, because there might be somebody here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. With every eye closed and head bowed, please, every eye closed and head bowed, I need to ask you, and that is, if you don't know Christ, do you know where you're going if you died today? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And would you like to and spend eternity with Him? That's the question I'm asking, if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted Christ as their personal Savior. It's as simple as saying, I just turn away and I repent of the past. I want a new life with you. I want a new life with you. If you haven't said that prayer, say it again. Say it. And the prayer is, Lord, I repent of my sins and I turn to you and I accept you as my Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross and shed his blood just for me to redeem me of all those, of all my sins, to forgive me when I can't even forgive myself. If you said that prayer for the first time, I'd like to know. And again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said that prayer for the first time, I want to pray for you. So I ask you to put your hand up and right back down if you said that prayer. Hand up and right back down. Dear Jesus, we love you. Use us, Lord. Help us to fight this fear and help us to be bold for you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, Amen.